Across the Bridge by Mwangi Gicheru. In Across the Bridge by M. Gicheru, the narrative serves as a gritty and cynical exploration of the vast chasm between the social classes in post-independence Kenya. The story is told through the eyes of Simon Chuma, a man who views himself as a factory reject of creation, possessing the brain of a chicken and the body of a human. His journey is one of repeated attempts to cross the bridge from the impoverished slums to the world of the elite, a journey that leads him through the halls of justice, the darkness of prison, and the violent world of professional gangsterism, the houseboy and the forbidden encounter. The story begins with Chuma reflecting on his time in jail, which he calls the house for all, the only place where equality is exercised regardless of social class. This perspective is rooted in his past as a houseboy. For Kahuthu, a top civil servant and progressive native who lived among the cream of creation in an exclusive, well-guarded residence. Chuma initially considers this life a heaven, enjoying delicacies like royal jelly and sleeping in a comfortable bed, far removed from the godforsaken suburbs where he grew up. However, Chuma remains an outsider, a part of Kahutu's discarded property. The status quo is shattered one night when Caroline, Kahutu's only daughter and the pearl of the family, knocks on his door. Caroline, who had previously treated Chuma with a mistress-to-servant attitude, had begun seeking his company because he was the only man within her restricted reach. Despite his fear of the rich brute, Kahuthu, who he believes would happily cut me into pieces and feed me to the dogs, Chuma allows her in. That night, he crossed the social bridge, realizing he was now in a world where he did not rightly belong and from which there was no turning back, the pregnancy and the flight to the village. The relationship continues in secret, with Caroline using excuses like domestic science lessons in the kitchen to spend time with Chuma. She encourages him to better himself through correspondence schools, insisting that everything is possible if there is devotion and stamina. Chuma attempts to study subjects like geography and science but eventually gives up, continuing to fool her into thinking he is progressing. The situation turns critical when Caroline reveals she is 3 months pregnant. Terrified that Kahuthu will have him jailed, Chuma decides to flee. He resigns, telling a skeptical Kahuthu that he wants to go home to do some farming. He leaves with a strong hatred of rich men, feeling humiliated and unwanted by his employer. Back in his village, Chuma settles on his family's small, exhausted plot of land. Seeking a livelihood, he enters a partnership with an old friend, Zakio. To become a carpenter, Zakio's specialty is a useless business that flourishes only when people die, making coffins or wooden suits. Chuma's life becomes a cycle of hard manual labor, with his muscles hardening and his palms blistering like a leper's as he learns the trade, the village scandal and the police raid. Chuma's relative peace is interrupted when Caroline suddenly appears. In the village, she explains that her father discovered her pregnancy during a medical examination and, fearing his wrath, she fled to find Chuma. Despite Chuma's warnings that his family is poor and cannot provide the luxury she is used to, Caroline insists on staying, telling him, "I will stay with you here." The arrival of a sophisticated girl in the village causes a sensation. Chuma's family assumes they are getting married, and the neighborhood celebrates what they perceive as Chuma's ticket to wealth. For 3 days, they live together as man and wife in Chuma's hut, though they are not legally married. The dream ends when Kahuthu arrives with a gang of policemen. He ignores any attempts at dialogue, treating Chuma like a football in the ensuing scuffle. Caroline is forcibly taken away, and Chuma is arrested and charged with wrongful detention and abduction, the trial of the plebeian. The trial is a public spectacle, pitting a poor carpenter against a senior civil servant. The prosecution paints Chuma as a criminal who forcibly abducted a respectable man's daughter. However, the case takes a turn when the elders, who had gone to negotiate with Kahuthu, testify about how he had treated them with utter disrespect. The most interesting spectacle is Caroline herself. Despite her parents' pressure to testify against Chuma, she tells the judge, "I went there myself and decided to stay." She admits she is in love with Chuma, leading the judge to rule that as a mature woman of 18, the law upholds her freedom of determination. Chuma is found not guilty, and in a dramatic moment, Caroline chooses to walk away from her parents and join Chuma, the slum reality and the descent into crime. The couple moves into the slums, but the transition is brutal for Caroline. Her soft stomach cannot digest the coarse food, and she struggles with the physical demands of rural life, such as carrying water. Chuma realizes that his pitiful earnings as a carpenter are not enough to maintain her. He becomes obsessed with the idea of getting rich quick to make her happy and secure. Chuma attempts several business ventures. The tomato business, inspired by a man named John Yanya, Chuma tries trading agricultural products, only to find the market is a man-eat-man business, where poor farmers are exploited by rich merchants, shoeshining. He considers this but is dissuaded by a local shoeshiner, Kago, who jokes that men are not millipedes, with a million shoes to polish. Barman at Paco Paco, he finds work at a crazy pub, owned by a plump tycoon, called Mundia. Driven by desperation to support the pregnant Caroline, Chuma begins stealing from the till. He is eventually caught red-handed and sentenced to 8 months in jail for stealing by servant. As he is taken away, a weeping Caroline asks, "What shall I do now?" And Chuma can only tell her to return to her parents, the second jail term and kissing as philosophy. In prison, Chuma meets a variety of characters, including a gangster-cum-poet named Kissinger. Kissinger, a former policeman who turned to crime after being sacked for his integrity, becomes a mentor to Chuma. He introduces Chuma to the concept of reincarnation, suggesting that the soul enters another being upon death based on its behavior. A fool becomes a sheep, a thief a rat, and a humble beggar might be reborn a king. While in jail, Chuma learns that Caroline has indeed returned to her parents. He begins to feel that their relationship was an accident, and that he should recross the social bridge back to where I belonged. However, he remains bewitched by her memory. The search in Mombasa. Upon their release, Chuma and Kissinger head to Nairobi. And then Mombasa, where they suspect Caroline is being hidden. The hunt is grueling, they search pubs, hospitals, and schools. Chuma eventually spots Caroline on a ferry, unmistakably Caroline. He follows her through a chaotic chase involving crowded buses and a violent encounter with a bully who punches him in the face. When they finally meet, Caroline is initially hostile, telling Chuma, "I vowed to my father never to have anything to do with you." She reveals that her father pardoned her on the condition that she hide in Mombasa and attend a secretarial college. Most importantly, she confirms that the daughter, whom she calls a daughter of a thief, is alive and living with her. Their reunion is bittersweet. Chuma realizes that nobody wants a poor man, and that he must acquire wealth at any cost to be with her again. He agrees to join Kissinger in a planned bank robbery. The bank heist and the golden suit. The robbery is meticulously planned by Kissinger, who enlists Chuma and two others, Injigathi and Johnny. Chuma is initiated into the world of dangerous criminals, practicing with guns for the first time. He begins to adopt a new, mightier persona, whistling heroes' songs and feeling like a dangerous champion. The heist at a country bank is successful but violent. Johnny accidentally shoots himself in the hand, and Kissinger is tackled by a security guard. In the chaos, Injigathi and Chuma flee with nearly half a million shillings. Chuma is suddenly rich, crossing the bridge of poverty through a shortcut to big money. Chuma reinvents himself in Nairobi. He buys a sumptuous French three-piece suit and expensive accessories, relishing the moment a salesman who once looked at him with distaste now calls him sir. He attempts to confront Kahuthu at a golf club. Sitting at the same table and tipping a waiter 4 times the bill just to humiliate his former boss, the final tragedy and redemption. Chuma returns to Mombasa to find Caroline, wanting to surprise her with his new fortune. He takes her to a luxurious beach hotel, but the encounter quickly turns sour. Caroline is repulsed by him, telling him, "I never felt for you more than I felt for the rats in your house." She accuses him of being a thief and a cheap tramp, leading Chuma to react with beastly demands and violence. As Caroline tries to escape the room, she slips on a spiral staircase and falls headlong, suffering a fractured skull and a broken jaw. Chuma flees the scene but is eventually tracked down by detectives in his hometown and arrested for armed robbery and attempted murder. In the final chapters, the law is strange. Caroline survives and recovers enough to tell the police the whole story, which results in Chuma being charged only with wrongful detention and rape. Rather than murder, he is sentenced to several years in prison, with his sentences for the robbery and the hotel incident merged to run concurrently. Years later, Chuma is released in a presidential amnesty. At the prison gate, he is met by Caroline, who is now physically handicapped and using crutches. She asks, "Would you love me when I am unhealthy?" Despite his initial resentment, Chuma realizes he is attracted to her, like a moth flitting around a source of light. In a final twist, Caroline reveals that her unhealthy state was a test. She can walk without crutches. She also reveals that her mother had been secretly sending her money while they were living in the slums, money that Chima thought he was providing through his own earnings. The book ends with Chima meeting his 5-year-old daughter, who calls him Daddy, finally finding a place where they are no more strangers to each other. This summary is for educational purposes only. This audio is exclusively created for AfriSummary.com. Thank you.